The Lord has been our dwelling place throughout all generations. Before the mountains were brought forth, even thou hast formed the earth and the world. Even from everlasting to everlasting, thou art God. Then the prophet said, hast thou not known, hast thou not heard, that the everlasting God, the creator of the ends of the earth, fainteth not, neither is weary. There is no searching of his understanding. He gives power to the faint. To them that have no might, he increaseth strength. Even the youth shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall. But they that wait upon the Lord, they shall renew their strength. They will mount up. I said they will mount up. With wings as eagles. They will run, not be weary. They will walk and not faint. Amen. So if you're weary this morning, just wait on the Lord. And he will renew your strength. If you have your personal copy this morning of the world's bestseller, again, we're happy to have all of those who are visiting with us. I want to call your attention to the book of Galatians. The chapter is 6, and the verses for your consideration are 7 and 8. Galatians chapter 6, verses 7 and 8. Galatians 6, 7 through 8. If you have that, say amen. Be not deceived. God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. For he that soweth to his flesh shall of his flesh reap corruption. But he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. Using that reading today, I want to begin the Lord's blessing, a two-part series entitled The Power of Spiritual Living. The Power of Spiritual Living. Can you say that with me? The Power of Spiritual Living. Come on, you can say it better than that. The power of spiritual living. The power of spiritual living. Now, we hear a lot about lifestyle. Lifestyle defined means the manner of living. It means the characteristics, the way of life, or the characteristics of a particular person, a particular group, or a particular culture. And we are all interested in lifestyle. Everybody has a lifestyle. We talk about the lifestyle of the rich and the famous. We talk about the lifestyles of the elite and celebrities. We even talk about the lifestyle of the poor and the disenfranchised and the oppressed, because everybody has a lifestyle. Lifestyle affects our lives in this world, and lifestyle will also affect our lives in the world to come. The Bible, the greatest book in the world, has much to say about lifestyle. Many times, biblical and theological usage uses different words. For example, the word walk in Scripture denotes lifestyle, the way that one lives. We are told in Scripture we should walk in the light. According to 1 John 1 and verse 7, we are told in Scripture we should walk worthy of the calling wherewith we are called, according to Ephesians chapter 4. Verse 1 and the following verses. We're told we walk by faith and not by sight. According to 2 Corinthians chapter 5, about verse number 7. And then the scripture reading read so beautifully by Brother Wynn, we are told that if we walk after the flesh, we will die. But if we walk after the Spirit, we will live. And then in scripture today is a word called run. We're familiar with the word walk, and then there's the idea of run. It is used to denote lifestyle. For example, Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1 says, let us lay aside every weight and the sin that so easily besets us, and to run with patience the race that is set before us. In the book of Galatians chapter 5, verse number 7, the Apostle Paul, in admonishing the Galatian Christians, said, you did run well. Who have hindered you that you should not obey the truth? Then sometime the word live is used in scripture to denote lifestyle. Titus 2:11-12, and now the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared unto all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly and godly in this present world. And then sometime the word conversation. It's not used in the Bible. So we talk about a conversation, is a dialogue or exchange between people. They are talking, but when the Bible talks about conversation, it's talking about lifestyle. Hebrews chapter 13, verse 5 says, let your conversation, that is, let your lifestyle be without covetousness, without greed. You know, you can have $1 million and not be greedy, and have $10 and be greedy. Man, so it's not the amount that you have, it is the attitude of heart. Amen. And then Paul talks about in the book of Galatians about his conversation, his lifestyle in the Jewish religion, how that he wasted the church of God without measure. And then sometime in scripture, the word so is used to denote, from the agricultural imagery, it is used to denote lifestyle. If we sow to the flesh, the word of God say, we from the flesh will reap corruption. But if we sow to the Spirit, we will reap life. It depends upon your lifestyle. Now, of course, we have a choice of living a spiritual lifestyle or a sinful lifestyle. Amen. But I want to talk about three things in this message this morning. I want to talk about number one. I want to look at the text again a little closer in Galatians 6, 7, and 8. I want to analyze that text a little more in depth. Then I want to talk about the power of sinful living. Amen. The power of sinful living. Then I want to talk about the power of spiritual living. This is part one. And of course, we will, if the Lord allows us, we will conclude this message on next Sunday. And we'll share two other ideas with you. And we'll talk about those when we get there. Amen. Now, what I want to do, I want to read again the text from the Phillips Modern Translation of the New Testament. Now, I want to read this text from this translation. It is a very good translation, and because I think it facilitates our understanding, and the Bible does tell us in all of our getting, we should get understanding. We need the truth. We need the 411 on lifestyle. Amen. Now listen to Dr. J.B. Phillips' rendering of the text, which I read to you from the King James. Here's what it says. Don't be under any illusion. You cannot make a fool of God. A man's harvest in life will depend entirely on what he sows. If he sows for his own lower nature, his harvest will be the decay and death of his own nature. But if he sows for the Spirit, he will reap the harvest of everlasting life from the Spirit. Now, this text tells us, don't be deceived. Don't be under an illusion. In the Greek, it literally means, don't keep being led astray. Amen. And the only thing that can keep us from being led astray is the truth. Our only hope of not being deceived is to know the truth and to follow the truth. Because you can know it and yet not subscribe to it, and you're still being deceived. And he said, nobody makes a fool of God. And it literally means nobody turns up their nose at God. Now, you can do it, but you won't get away with it. Is that all right? Yeah. Oh, yeah, you can do it, but you will never get away with it. Nobody can get over on God. Nobody can pull the wool over God's eyes. Nobody can mislead God, because God, he is all wise. Is that all right? He is infinitely wise. God cannot be deceived. Now, people may play games, but God cannot be misled. Is that all right? God knows all about me. He knows about my secrets. Oh, yeah. And he knows about my struggles. He knows about my problems. And he knows about my potential. He knows about my future before I even get there. And he knows about my destiny. So, since I cannot mislead God, amen. This is called a great inexorable law, an unchanging law. Amen. That we reap what we sow. The way we live will determine what we get. Is that all right? And then he said, if we sow, sow denotes lifestyle, how you live. Amen. If I decide to read my Bible, that's an outcome. If I decide not to worship God in spirit and in truth, I ought to have a lifestyle of worshiping God every first day of the week. If I can make it, is that all right? There may be some situations where you can't make it, but you shouldn't just be goofing off when you could be in the house of God worshiping God. Is that all right? Amen. I can decide to honor God. I can decide to live obediently to God. I can decide to humble myself under his mighty hand. I can recognize him as God. Or I can decide that God is there. I acknowledge that God is there, but I'm just not going to obey him. That's lifestyle. That's lifestyle. And we reap what we sow. And whether you believe it or not, every seed produces after its own kind. And whether you believe it or not, every deed produces after its own kind. Now, I sometimes hear people say, well, I see people doing bad and getting blessed. They ain't living right and they getting blessed. But let me tell you something. Can I tell you something? The final score ain't in. Hello? The final score ain't in. And sometimes, let me tell you something, and even though you can't figure out why some people seem to be, and you know, and a lot of people have the green grass syndrome. You see, the grass is always greener on the other side. But keep in mind, it may be artificial turf. I don't know. Is that all right? Amen. And so, no matter how it seems to you, don't get caught up in the illusion that some people are going to live wrong and it's going to turn out right for them, because the final score is not in. Hello? And a lot of people get confused. Well, I'm trying to live right, and I can't get a blessing. Well, have you really checked yourself? Are you really living right? Hello? Y'all all right? Amen. So I've got to be careful that I don't get caught up in the situation, because life is just not in this world. This is part of the life equation. But there is another world, according to the teaching of the Holy Bible, and I believe it. Now, everybody lifestyle has an outcome. You may not like what you're getting, then if you don't like what you're getting, stop planning what you plan. Hello? You cannot plant tomatoes and get cucumbers. Hello? You cannot plant one sinful act after another and expect to receive the blessings of God. Just doesn't happen that way. Amen. And so, nobody can make a fool of God. And God is a just God. But also, I'm so glad today, as Brother Clark prayed, he's a merciful God. And because he's merciful, Lord have mercy, he sent his son to die on the blood-drenched slopes of Calvary. And got up early Sunday morning with the keys of death and hell swinging round his waist, saying, I am he that once was dead. Glory, hallelujah, but I'm alive forevermore. And because he lives, I can face tomorrow. Because he lives, all fear is gone. Now, I come to my second point, and that is the power of sinful living. Power is the ability to affect change. Amen. Many years ago, Dr. Carl Memminger wrote a provocative and arresting book entitled Whatever Happened to Sin. And in that book, Dr. Memminger was trying to raise our consciousness, because the people had become desensitized to sin. You know, people can do wrong now and they have no compunctions of conscience. You know, people go on national TV and tell all their business. Ain't no shame in the game. Is that all right? That should be something that are private. Is that correct? Amen. But whether you choose to live a sinful lifestyle or a spiritual lifestyle, it has power. Amen. And what Dr. Memminger was trying to get us to do, to raise our moral consciousness. I shouldn't just be out here living and I'm clueless and thoughtless to where my life is leading. If I stay on the road I'm on, where is it going to ultimately lead? Is that correct? So in life, if I choose to live a sinful life, it has corrupting power. Whether you realize it or not, you can get involved in sin so much that you affect the ability to think clearly. You can get so far out there in sin that you get so far that you can't get back. Because sin messes with your thought process. Sin affects your perception and how you look at life. And one thing all of us need is the ability to make good decisions. Hello? You know, it's a good thing for you to say, I made a mistake, and I want to correct that mistake. Is that all right? So sin, nobody is ever better off because they sin. Sin does not add any quality to one's life. Sin is going to always be negative. And don't get caught up, because if you stole $100 today and didn't get caught, don't mean you got away. That means you got by. Is that all right? Run over, brother, hit over to Ecclesiastes 8:11. I'm going to show you this passage. And I was up in Decatur, Wanda, and this great preacher, brother Arthur Hume, he's about 80 plus years old. He's a wise brother, and I just enjoy sitting down talking with him, because I can learn so much when I'm in his presence. And we went out to lunch one day, Brandon, and I made a point, and he corrected me. And I was saying that somebody had done something, and I said, and they got away. He said, no, they got by. I said, you know what? You're right. They didn't get away. They got by. You had that passage, brother Hitler. What does it say?
Because sentence against an evil work is not executed speedily.
Is God, see, God, when people do wrong, God doesn't, well, he used to, some people he killed immediately. Aren't you glad God ain't operating that way now? The ranks might be thinner, is that right? Amen. Would you be here if God was killing both the moment they sin? Hello? Do you think the contribution would rise incrementally if God was getting folk for not giving properly? Oh, talk to me, church. Is that all right? Amen. But God doesn't operate that way. Amen. And I'm glad about it, aren't you? Can you say amen to that? Praise God this morning. Because sentence against an evil work is not executed speedily. What happens?
Therefore,
here's what happens.
The hearts of the sons of men, is fully set in
is to fully do that is I got away with this act, and I miscalculate and say, ain't nothing gonna happen to me. Matter of fact, I knew a young man, and he was heading in the wrong direction, and he was full of pride, and he was braggadocious, and he was arrogant. And he told me, he said that, and he was robbing folks. And I said, why you do that? And he said, because I can't get caught. He said, I can't get caught. And I said to him, there are some better criminals than you. You a petty criminal. They called Al Capone and John Dillinger. You are lightweight compared to them. And guess what happened? He got caught. Did you hear what I said? He got caught. Is that right? Osama bin Laden ran for 10 years, but he got caught. Obama got Osama. Is that all right? Yes, he did. So don't fall into the trap of thinking that because I did wrong and I didn't get caught, nothing happened to me, that I've gotten away. There's a God in heaven who says, don't be deceived. You're going to reap what you sow. Hello? You talk to folks any kind of way, don't be surprised when folks give you as good as you give me. Is that all right? Now, Solomon said, the wise man Solomon said, there are seasons in life. Is that right? There are seasons in life. There are four seasons in life. There is springtime. There is summertime. There's fall. And there's winter. Is that correct? The wise man Solomon said there is a time and a purpose for every season under heaven. Now, one thing I got to admit to you, one thing sin has going for it, sin is pleasurable. Hello? People people who's sinning having a good time. Is that all right? That's why they keep doing it. Is that correct? But it is pleasurable for only a season. My question is, what are you going to do when the season is over? Hello? Right over to Hebrews 11, 23 and 24. I want to talk about Moses, how he forsook the king's table and accepted the reproach of Christ rather than the suffer up to enjoy the pleasures of sin. For us. Is that 23 and 24? Maybe 24 to 26. Yes. Read it for me. What does it say?
By faith Moses. When he was come to years.
When he came to a level of maturity. What happened?
Refused to be called the son.
He refused to be Moses' lifestyle. He could have been living a very lavish lifestyle. But he refused that lifestyle because Moses looked down the road. You got to look down the road in life. You just can't live in the present moment. You got to look ahead. You got to plan ahead. What happened?
Choosing rather to suffer.
He chose rather lifestyle. He chose a lifestyle of suffering.
With the people of God.
With the people of God.
Than to enjoy the
pleasures. Than to enjoy. Listen to what?
Than to enjoy the pleasures.
Than to enjoy the pleasures.
Of sin for a
season. Of sin for a season. Because the season is coming to an end. The basketball season is over now. Burial is over. Amen. And what are you going to do when the season ends? Amen. What are you going to do when the season of sinful pleasure ends? Because it is going to end one day. You may be drinking all the liquor you can stomach. You might be snorting heroin, shooting heroin, or smoking crack, or this new stuff they show enough going crazy with. Hello? You might be jumping from one illicit relationship to another. You might be doing your thing, letting your hair down. But I got a question for you. What are you going to do when the season is over? And the season, one day, sooner or later, is going to be over. Hello? So it would be better for me to choose a lifestyle. Amen. Because my God has told me, if I sow to the flesh, I'm going to be ruined. Oh, yes. It's going to lead to death. But he also tells if I sow, and the final point this morning is the power of a spiritual lifestyle. It's all about life. It's all about life. How many can enjoy life today? Isn't life great? Ain't it grand to be alive? That's a gift from God. It's all about life. It's all about life. Jesus said, I come that they might have life, that they might have it more abundantly. John 3:16, God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. Oh, it's all about life. Romans 6:23, the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God, oh glory to God, is life, eternal life, through Christ Jesus our Lord. I tell you, it's all about life. Is that all right? John 20:30-31, many other signs truly did Jesus in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book. But these are written that you might believe that Jesus is the Christ. And that believing you might have life. It's all about life. Oh, life is wonderful. There are two levels of life. that is by us, biological life. You see, you can be physically alive, but spiritually dead. Hello? Now, the scripture contrasts bios and zoe. And bios, from which we get the word biology, and biology is just the study of life. You know that because you went to school and you studied biology. Is that right? If you studied anthropology, you're still studying life. You're studying the life of humankind. Is that correct? If you study theology, you're studying life. You're studying about the life of the eternal and everlasting God. Is that all right? If you study about sociology, you're still talking about the life of a society. If you study psychology, you're studying about how the human mind operates. And nobody knows more about the human mind than God. Nobody knows more about eternal life than God. If you had a choice between life and death, which would you choose? Most people would say, I choose life, but their lifestyle say, I'm choosing death. Is that all right? You might say with your words, I'm choosing life, but how you live determines whether you're choosing, because it's not so much based upon what you say. It's based upon what you do. Because every day I'm sowing. The late, great Franklin Camp made a profound statement as I closed this morning. And he said that something is taking place in life every day that is leading to its ultimate end. Every day, something is taking place significant. In fact, there are no insignificant days. No insignificant day. All days matter. All days count. Is that right? I thank God for yesterday. I thank the Lord for today. I hope the Lord let me see tomorrow. Is that all right? Because it's all about life, and I understand that my life is in his hand. The king got sick one day. He knew what God sent word by the prophet, you're going to die. Get your house in order. That's good advice. And get your house in order. There's someone sitting here today. Your house is not in order. Get your house in order. Choose life, not death. And the way you choose life, you choose the soul to the spirit. Brother Clark talked about in this prayer, and I appreciate that. He talked about the Holy Spirit, and I'm going to talk about on next week, the life of the Holy Spirit in the life of a believer. Because you can't be spiritual without the Holy Spirit. Hello? And the Holy Spirit has tools. The Bible tells us that the word of God is the sword of the Spirit. Is that correct? And Brother Wynn read, if you don't have the Spirit of Christ, you don't belong to him. Hello? You've got to have the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit does not make you get on the floor and foam at the mouth and roll and act like you ain't got good sense. The Holy Spirit makes you act intelligently. It makes you choose great things. And it produces positive things in your life. You can choose to be full of the devil. Hello. Or you can choose to be full of the Holy Spirit. Is that all right? And so, I, as I conclude this morning, I urge you to choose life. And it's deeper than just saying, I want to go to heaven. It's deeper than that. You got to pay the price. You got the soul, the seed, and the deeds that leads to life. Is that all right? And I'm convinced this morning many of you are present today because you're trying to go somewhere. You could have been at home this morning, but you got up this morning early and you put on your best clothes. Is that all right? You fix your hair, you straighten your tie, you brush your teeth. Is that right? You shine your shoes. And you said, I'm going to the house of the Lord. I'm going to the house of prayer this morning. Is that correct? Because I'm trying to go somewhere. And I know I can't go nowhere at home looking at TV. I got to get up from there. Go on out to the house of the Lord. Because I'm trying to worship the Lord this morning. I want to sing praises to his name. When they pray, yes, I want to say, Father, I stretch my hand to thee. Because there's no other help I know, Lord. If you withdraw yourself from me, oh Lord, whether shall I go this morning? Is that all right? Yes, I'm trying to go somewhere. I'm trying to go to a city that has foundations, whose builder and maker is God. Is that all right? Trying to go to a place where there will be no more tears. Is that all right? Trying to go to a place where there won't be no need for Bengay and Advil. And Motrin, is that all right? Trying to go to a place where it's never goodbye anymore. It's always howdy, howdy. Is that all right? Trying to go to a place where I can get my mansion, my robe, and my crown. Is that all right? And the only way I'm going to get there, I got to understand the power of spiritual living. I cannot conform to this world. Because those people are in a way of death. But I must be transformed by the renewing of my mind. Is that all right? We're going to talk about what it takes to live spiritually. Because it's all about choices. Is that all right? I'm going to my seat now, but I want to tell you this. That I got some good news for you. Can you stand some good news? Yes, I got some good news. Is that all right? There are some things you ought to be sure about. Is that right? I'm so glad this morning there's a word in the Bible called surely. Is that all right? Surely means I agree. Surely means I consent. Is that all right? And that's why David said, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. Is that all right? That's why Isaiah said, surely he has borne our griefs. Is that all right? And he has carried our sorrow. And surely as a man sows, that shall he also reap. Is that all right? As surely as God created the heavens and the earth, a man shall reap what he sowed. Is that all right? As surely as God opened the Red Sea and they walked through on dry land, a man shall reap what he sowed. Is that all right? As surely as God took the heat out the fiery furnace, a man shall reap what he sowed. As surely as God clothed the mouth of the lions in the lion's den, a man shall reap what he sowed. Is that right? As surely as God raised from the dead our Lord Jesus, that great shepherd of the sheep, a man shall reap what he sowed. Is that right? And oh, if I sow to the flesh, of the flesh, I'm going to reap corruption. Is that all right? Hosea said, they have sown the wind, and oh, they're reaping the whirlwind. Is that all right? If I sow to the flesh, I'm going to cry out with Paul Lance Dunbar. This is the price I pay for just one righteous day. Is that all right? Years of regret and of grief and sorrow. Thank you, Lord, without relief. Is that all right? Small was the thing I bought. Small was the debt I thought. But oh, God, the interest. Is that all right? But If I sow to the Spirit, I can say, oh, one glad morning. Yes, if I sow to the Spirit, I can say, I have fought a good fight. I have kept the faith. I have finished my course. That all right? If I sow to the Spirit, I can say, weeping, oh, weeping. I said, weeping may endure for a night, but joy, joy, oh, joy, come in the morning. Is that her? Let the church say amen. Is that her? Let the church say amen. Is that her? Let the church say amen. Because if you sow to the Spirit of the Spirit, you're going to reap life. But if you sow to the flesh, Lord have mercy. Of the flesh, you're going to reap decay and ruin. Amen. Jesus Christ is the world's only Savior. He is the way. He's not a way among many. He is the way. And the way you accept Christ as Savior, you can't pray your way in. Amen. When I was in Decatur just last week, I told the folks, if praying could have got a man in, surely Saul could have got in. He prayed for 3 days and 3 nights and still didn't get in. And when the preacher came in, he said, why tarriest thou? Arise and be baptized. Wash away your sin, calling on the name of the Lord. Is that all right? You can't pray your way in, but you must hear the gospel. Romans 10:17. But brother, my brother, to God, more of a brother, I declare unto you the gospel which I preach unto you, which also you have received, wherein you stand by, which also you are saved, if you keep in memory what I preached unto you, for I delivered unto you first of all, how did Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he rose the third day according to the scriptures. Then you must believe that. You must believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of the living God. Hebrews 11:6. Is that right? Then you must repent of your sin. You got to have a new mind. You got to say, I'm going to change the way I'm living. I'm living wrong. I'm in the way of death. I don't want to die. I want to live. If you go to the doctor and he tell you got high blood pressure and tell you you're going to have to make some lifestyle changes, you can't go eat 6 pork chops. Hello? You got to make some lifestyle change. You got to eat more broccoli and carrots. Well, Brother Mark, that ain't exciting. Do you want to live? That ain't exciting. I want something to taste good. Do you want to live? You want to eat and it tastes good and die? Or do you want to eat something nutritious and live? I like a quarter pounder. Matter of fact, when I was in Decatur, Earl, I said, well, when I got through preaching, I said, man, I want me a Big Mac. When I left, I went and got me one. And the preacher said, man, when you got to talking about that Big Mac, you made me want one. I went and got me one, but you can't have a Big Mac every day. Got to have some salad. Got to have some salad, B. But I want to live, y'all. Is that correct? And then you must confess the sweetest name that fell from mortal tongue. Jesus Christ, the name of Jesus Christ is the dome of all vocal grandeur. A name I love to hear. I love to sing his word. It sounds like music in mine ear. Sweetest name on earth, Jesus. Confess that name. Then you must be immersed or baptized in water for the remission of your sin. And until you do that, you are in a state of death. I want to ask, do you want to live eternally? Do you want to live eternally, not just for a few years? Do you want to live eternally? If you sow to the Spirit, you will reap everlasting life. Hello? Oh, I want that. The Lord, Lord, I want eternal life. Is that all right? I enjoy physical life, and yes, I won't eat. But there's a way you got to do it to get it. Do you want to live or do you want to die? You can't say, well, I want to live, and you still keep sowing to the flesh. You can't say you want to go to heaven and you keep doing the thing that lead to damnation and ruin. If you want to go to heaven, you got to make some changes if they are necessary. Hello? So my question, do you want to live or do you want to die? If you sow to the Spirit, amen, you shall of the Spirit reap life. But if you sow to the flesh, of the flesh, you will reap corruption. Amen. Amen. Sort of sad. I notice, and I thank the legislators that they're doing something about this texting and driving. Hello, y'all. And people getting killed. Because while you texting, you driving a vehicle, and you texting. And, you know, you can be on a car or on somebody before you know it. That right? I remember one morning I was taking Peter and Christina to school. Got on the freeway. And I guess I adjust the radio or look down. And before I knew it, I was on a car about to run him down. Hadn't been no shoulder, I'd have hit him. So quickly, I went to the shoulder. Christina was sitting in the front. I said, why you ain't tell me? She said, ain't my job to tell you. You drive it. You're supposed to pay attention. Is that right? But if I hit this car, you're going to be in this car too. Amen. So I want to ask you, do you want to live or do you want to die? That's what it's all about. It's about life or death. Stand on your feet. That's the message this morning. It's about life or it's about death. I choose life. Amen. I choose life. You've had some people to give up smoking. You know why they gave up smoking? You say, well, don't get mad at me. I'm just telling the truth. You say, well, I want to live, but why you keep smoking them killers? But Brother Moss preached the gospel. What I'm doing, preaching the gospel. That's what I'm doing. Huh? My blood pressure through the roof, and I know salt doing it. Hello? I got to make some modifications. All right? If I know drinking that liquor is killing me, I said I want to live. I want to live, y'all. I want to live as long as I can in health in this world. And when I leave this world, I want to live with the Lord. And so I choose life. I choose a spiritual lifestyle. I choose a life of prayer. I choose a life of worship. I choose a life of treating folks right. If they don't treat me right, I got to treat folks right. Hello? Amen. So I want to ask you this morning, if you're a child of God and you are a Christian, you are Christian, you've accepted life, but you've gone back to death. Got good news for you. You can straighten that out. You can repent, confess, and pray, and you are right back in a positive relationship with the Lord. Amen. And when you do that, you can say, Brother Moss, I choose life today and not death. For death is an enemy. And I want life, because death hurts you. Or death breaks your heart. The grave don't care nothing about none of us. Is that right? Hell doesn't care about any of us. But I know that Jesus cares, because he died on the cross that I might live. Amen. Come along, my friend. Come along. You better get on board. And nothing on, nothing on. Let me thank my Lord, you ought to. Yeah. You better get on board. Nothing on this. Everything.